Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Anahuacis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keeper's Prepper's Self-Reliance files and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of two-thirds of the Prophecy Keepers trilogy and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault. Osio Ginalii Tahiju Toigu, which means, hello cousins, I'm fine, how are you? This is your old buddy Bluewater coming to you from the Cumberland Plateau in east central Tennessee, the ancient home of the Aniuntikwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the old Cherokee Nation.
Well, hello everybody. This is your old buddy Bluewater coming to you from the mysterious Ozarks in mid-America, southern Missouri, and our guest once again this week is the inimitable, the incomparable Dr. Robert Ghostwolf. This is a continuation of last week's interview. And we were talking about the Eighth Thunder and Eighth Thunders, and Ghostwolf was going to continue on talking about Life Review. How are you this week, Dr. Ghostwolf?
We're doing fine.
Have you figured out what inimitable means? I don't know what that means.
I don't know, but it sounds good.
I don't know if it means anything.
You know, if it doesn't get me in trouble with Homeland Security, we'll come
on. Yeah.
I'm even wondering about the prophecies, but we'll try it.
Oh, man.
You know, I mean, they're just paranoid. You know, but this is a time where part of the effects of the quickening and the awakening, you know, first you had the quickening, where everything seemed to be moving faster, and now We're out of the quickening because we actually have to call it, you know, what is the term for things moving at stellar speed?
The warping.
You know, things that, the
the warping.
the warping, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, things are moving so fast and changing so fast, you can basically, you can't plan anything anymore.
Uh-uh.
Because the minute you pick up your foot to take the first step, by the time you put your foot down, all the conditions have changed. I mean, it's that quick. So you sort of just got to go minute by minute. That's what you have to do.
Oh, I know that.
And you don't really know the outcome. It's like, well, what are you doing, Dr. Ghostwolf? And I said, I don't know. I'm getting through this afternoon.
Well, they can't predict the weather anymore.
No. They can't predict the weather anymore.
Nope.
And they certainly can't predict the crops or anything that's attached to that. So this blending, swirling experience of time, no time, time overlapping, missing time, a lot of people are experiencing that now. And we talked about that in the Eight Thunders. And, you know, it's reached the point now where in talking about the Eight Thunders, at times it blends with my end of days prophecies. Because the end of days prophecies had to do with the fact that everything was changing so fast that by the time you got through putting something down in pen, something else emerged out of it. Situation would change again. So a lot of people are experiencing that now, and that's bringing about a lot of questioning about different things, including we're seeing the fulfillment of the prophecies years ago that the Mayans told us as we approach 2012, as the paradigm changes, as the physics that cause the paradigm to be what we perceive it to be change, we're going to become aware of another awareness. You know, I think that if you go back to the Castaneda books, he wrote about it in terms of when Don Juan was teaching him about the first attention, second attention, and third attention, okay? And the first attention is the attention that everybody has at Walmart, you know. Basically very robotic, very, you know, primal brain, you know, function from here to there. Here's step one, here's step two. Then you go to the second attention, and the second attention is where you start to realize that things aren't exactly what they appear to be. You don't really have the answers for them. It's sort of a transitionary state, but it's a state of higher consciousness. Then you move into the third attention, and the third attention is when you supposedly open up the Godhead, you open up the crown chakra, and all the hormones are flowing in the hypothalamus, and what happens is you now see things in the abstract. You see them for what they are, although it may not necessarily make any sense in logical reasoning. Does that make any sense, what I just said? In other words, wow, you know, I know this just happened, but I can't explain how it happened. You know, that's where we start to experience these time overlaps, time loss. We start to experience things that they call hollow leaps. Hollow leaps are when you're walking along and all of a sudden in the next step, or you go out for a walk in the woods and you come back and everything's different.
So it's Uncle John, the Iroquois elder, you know, he said, let go of the bank, get, attention number one, get out in the middle of the river, which is flowing fast, attention number two, and just keep your head above water, attention number three.
Yeah, and God will talk to you.
Yeah.
So it's time to let go of the branch. Just let go and go with it. But it's also a time in doing that where in this life review process, it's like a bungee cord. Whatever we put out when we go into these unconscious rages, in other words, you're doing things, but you're not really aware of why you're doing it, or it could be anything from you having, you know, on the negative side, you're having an argument with somebody, and if somebody were to sit down and say, wait a minute, what the heck are you arguing about? You'd go, I don't know, okay? Or you'd be sitting there doing something, and you're caught in the current of it. Sort of like you grabbed onto an electrical fence and you can't let go, but there's no logical reason for why you're doing it. And as you come, and so people go into their things and they're playing out their egos and they're playing out their rage and they're playing out their feelings of lack and, you know, they were abused and all this other kind of stuff. And so they go into all of these dramatizations in life or high drama. And then what happens is all of a sudden the bungee cord snaps. And they're faced with the consequence.
It's like
this comes right back, bang, mirror reality.
You knew what was going to happen when you peed on the electric fence.
Yeah, you know, it's like, why did you put your finger in the socket?
Yeah.
I mean, but it's like, so it's an immediate payback on action. So we're sort of, I guess this is a form of the purification, where we're being forced into being a one consciousness, a soul complete, a holistic being, instead of a fragmented being. We have to walk our truth. We have to know what we're doing and be conscious of why we're doing it. And it's all preparation for where we're going when the emergence actually happens in full tilt boogie, as they say, because our thoughts will be instant manifestation. And so we're being trained now in what can be experiences, painful experiences, but they're nothing in comparison to what would happen if we went to the next emergence, to the fifth world, and we put out these negative thoughts, and it would slam us back, you know, to such a degree that we probably wouldn't survive. So we're learning how to control emotion and thought. We're learning how to live in the now, absolutely live in the now, to live in the minute, and to take responsibility for your actions, your thoughts, and your words. That's how I see it playing out. Anyway, as we go on, going back to these ancient prophecies of the Mayans, they talked about the collapse of religious structures, scientific structures, financial structures, and social structures as we approach the year 2012, because we'd be moving into this other paradigm, this other level of being. Greg Braden talked about it in An Awakening to Zero Point, where as we come to zero point, it's going to be like we're walking between two worlds. And so, you know, I think everybody is experiencing that, except maybe the people in the White House, because they keep telling me everything's all right. But when I talk to real people out here in the world, everybody's in turmoil. Everybody's in chaos. No matter what you're doing in business, it's like almost impossible to get business done because you're dealing with everyone's little corruptions and everybody's lies and everybody's schemes, and it's like nothing turns out to be the way that it is. It's we're facing all of the corruption. We're inheriting the effects, the results of our thoughts and actions from the last few generations.
Oh yeah, I know the state of Israel. I mean, you know, for the last few months, I've been dealing with people in and around Israel and high places and low, and that country is about to come unglued.
Well, that whole area is going to be.
Oh yeah,
like a bunch of rubber bands that are going to all go fizzle sprung at the same time. You know, but there again, okay, what is the logic that we're seeing in the insanity that's being played out there? I mean, you know, you have, who the hell is Bin Laden, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he's a construction worker, hello?
Yeah.
You know, this is not a messiah, this is not a holy guy. This is a construction worker with a lot of money who decided, these guys screwed me in some business deals, so now I'm going to screw them. They gave me money and trained my men, meaning the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
And now I'm going to take that same machinery with the money that I have, that they pay me for the oil and things that they get, and I'm going to turn this machine against them, and I'll get the infidels out, okay? But look at the results of what this lunatic is doing. It's like they're killing their own people. They're killing their own holy men. They're killing women and children. It's insanity.
Well, you know, Colonel Bo Grice is a friend of mine, and I haven't talked to him in a bunch of years, but right after 9/11, I went and checked his website, because he's the guy that was sent over in the 80s to train the Mujahideen in the use of Stinger missiles, which is what turned the tide of the war and eventually chased the Russians out, because they no longer had control of the skies. And what he said was, he says, if you understand how their mind works and how their concept of holy war works, he says, you know, you'll notice they didn't continue going after the Russians once they left. He said the reason why they attacked us was because we put troops on Saudi soil. And they were required by their religion to come after us. And he said had we stood down at that point, there would have been no further attacks because that's the way their religion works. But nobody listens to him. You know.
Well, yeah. Now what we've got playing out over there today.
Back and forth and back and forth, revenge.
Yeah, and it's the old Roman emperor thing, you know. It's,
oh, yeah.
It's Octavian and Augustus, and they're going to control everything, and they can't. Some things just can't happen, you know.
And well, I mean, when was an American ever going to not retaliate after an attack? But, you know, that's what we needed to do, was just leave them the heck alone.
Well, yeah, we're reliving the whole thing over there, the whole Armageddon scenario, which is about to spring up right in front of our faces.
Yeah.
A major motion picture, is basically everybody living the decrees of their father's father's fathers.
Yep.
It has nothing to do with the now. It has nothing to do with reason or right. It has nothing to do with spiritual awareness. It's like, they have listened for centuries, we have listened for centuries, to what our fathers laid down. They go all the way back to the Crusades and the infidels. This is a playing out of the same thing.
Yep.
George Bush coming over there now and going in and taking over the schools and the education and the finances and the oil and the museums and all that. Well, that's no different than the Romans coming in and taking over everything. It's no different than Richard the Lionheart coming in and saying, we're taking Jerusalem over, you're out.
Well, sure. It's, I mean, everybody knew.
So we were like, oh, I think we've been here before.
Everybody knew this last day, so it's going to be a replay of the Roman Empire.
Well, it absolutely is. And Octavian's in the White House. And we are sitting here now. We're seeing on the other side of this, because there's negativity and there's positivity. And most of the time when people talk about things, you know, Dr. Doom and all that, everything's about the negative stuff. Well, this is an art bell, so let's get on with some of the other stuff that comes out of it. We are seeing, like, it's like an overlapping of consciousness and an overlapping of paradigms right now. We're seeing people coming up with incredible insight, with incredible understanding and compassion. At the same time, we're seeing the opposite occur. And it goes back to the quickening at the end of the last century, but now we're coming into a thing where we're seeing a natural but accelerated evolution of the species adapting to the changing environment, including to the effect that we're seeing children being born with incredible consciousness, with very different genetic DNA structure.
That's what you were talking about at the end of the interview last week.
Yeah, and, you know, these are called the indigo children, the crystal children, now we have the dolphin children, okay? All of this stuff goes all the way back into time as far as ancient scriptures and whatnot talking about these types of events, this changes in consciousness. You know, if we go into some of the ancient Mayan things, we realize that there have been several changes in consciousness over the last few thousand years. They refer to it as the cycle of civilizations, I believe. Civilizations come, they rise, they fall, they go through a cycle. It's predictable. And they have it down so pat that they can predict it like a farmer with his crops.
Oh, yeah.
But like these new children, you know, and again, here's part of the miracle of Mother, Father, God, because there's no explanation for how they're being born or where they're coming from. They can't possibly all be abductions. They can't possibly all be walk-ins, okay? But the consciousness is incredible, you know. Some of these crystal children, which are very different than the indigo children, they sit there with these big giant eyes. They're very, very sensitive, extremely hypersensitive. And they may not talk until they're 3 or 4 years old. I have a friend who's got a son who, I think he's one of these crystal children. He didn't utter a word till he was like 3.5 years old. And then all of a sudden, the little boy starts to talk in full paragraphs.
Jeez.
I mean, it wasn't, you know, da-da, hello, mama, hungy, you know, all that kind of baby talk. It's like all of a sudden the kid just broke out in full paragraphs.
Please,
they were sitting there and they said, "Wolf, something's really strange happening." Yeah. You know. So I said, "I don't know. Maybe you have Socrates reborn into your house."
Yeah.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Friends, this is Will Bluewater. Would you think twice about defending yourself or a loved one from an intruder? In this day and age, would you dream of leaving your doors unlocked at night for fear of being burglarized or even attacked or worse? Would you? But when it comes to our own bodies, the doors to our houses are wide open all the time. The very air we breathe and the food we eat, especially here in the United States, creates free radicals that cause us to age and in some cases cause illness, some of which are deadly. Now, for the first time in history, there's a supplement called Protandim that is listed on the U.S. government's PubMed.gov website with many peer-reviewed studies all showing that Protandim is a proven killer of the free radicals that are aging and in some cases even killing us. Now, I'm not talking about killing one molecule of free radical per one molecule of antioxidants like the stuff we've been taking. I'm talking about killing 1 million free radicals per second, per molecule, and this is the very same antioxidant your own body produces. Protandim supercharges your body to create much more than it does without Protandim. There's an old saying that we are warned about in the scriptures. That's the attitude, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. So let me ask you, how much money do you spend on food a day? If you're out shopping or at the beach, would you think anything of spending a buck or even more on a can of soda? If there was a vending machine that sold something that killed what was aging you or even killing you, would you even hesitate to spend a buck and a half a day? Well, now there is such a vending machine, and it's sitting right in front of you. It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now. Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
Hi, friends. This is Will Bluewater. I have a message here from 1975 from John Wayne. It comes right out of today's headlines. So you Indian folks who are following the progressive trend in politics, you're following the people that supported slavery. You're following the people that have enslaved you ever since the Civil War. Listen to John Wayne.
You know, it's a funny thing, the Indians now. This AIM group have started something that now they're against me for some reason. But I am the only man in pictures that always gave them their human dignity. I never was in a picture. I never allowed myself at any time to do anything that would take their human dignity away from them. And that, to me, is the most important thing in a man. I have found that a certain type that calls himself a liberal, I always thought I was a liberal. I came up terribly surprised one time when I found that I was a right-wing conservative extremist. When I have listened to everybody's point of view that I ever met, and then decide how I should feel. I mean, but this so-called new liberal group, Jesus, they never listen to your point of view, and they make a decision as to what you think, and they're articulate enough and in control of enough of the press to force that image out for the average person. For some reason, maybe it's these pictures, they have not been able to do that with me. In spite of what they say, people have not taken sides that I'm it hasn't affected my career in popularity, let's say. In spite of the fact that they've tried to make it do it. There isn't a hell of a lot that we can do to change human behavior. We keep making laws to try and change human behavior. You can't do it. I think you can accept it and and feel how you would feel in that position. You're being conned into Keynesianism and socialism now. But it isn't going to stop the selfishness of human behavior. It isn't going to stop the greed. If you give, take $20 and give a dollar to every son of a bitch in a room, and come back a year later, one of the bastards will have most of the money. I mean, it's just human nature, and they're not going to they're not going to whip it with a lot of laws. I think when you make people conscious, as communication gets better, and you make people conscious of somebody in trouble, starving or something like that, the average person will help. But of course now they've got so damn many charities and there's so much professionalism, you know, there's if you have a charity, you hire some professionals to work up the charity, and by the time you get the money, you get $4 for the recipient and $400 for the administrators. So, I mean, Christ, I think there are people who try to affect a thinking where they know more than some other son of a bitch and try to put a false impression on what human nature is. Christ's sakes, we have proven that we go back to hope at the first opportunity. Just throw out a little fish and bam, they're out there ready to grab it. So we are optimistic. We have to be optimistic. Christ, what else would there be in life if you lose optimism?
But and so, you know, and they come out able to play full piano concertos.
Incredible.
But they don't have any understanding of music. In other words, if you asked them, well, could you write that down in notes, they wouldn't know what you were talking about. They're children. But they put their fingers on the keyboard, and I've seen this magic. And you're just sitting there, speechless, going, that's amazing. That's absolutely amazing, you know. Otherwise, beyond that, they're just kids. A lot of the parents have a lot of trouble controlling them.
You're not talking about a savant here, or, you know, someone who's has low IQ, but they're brilliant on something. In other words, these are normal to average,
except they're extremely hypersensitive.
Yeah. I mean,
you know, it's like words really crush them. And they come up with stories about where they came from.
So they're otherwise
talking about other worlds, you know. And
yeah.
Okay.
So they're not low IQ.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they're high IQ kids that are absolutely dazzlingly brilliant on some talent.
Right.
That's unprecedented.
You know, they're, I guess they would be called child prodigies, you know.
But there was prophesied that this would happen, that the very, very best spirits would be born just before the end.
Uh-huh.
Because they would be the ones that would be leading us into the next phase.
Yeah, well, I'm just hoping that they reinvent 67 GTOs.
Yeah.
They were really nice cars.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember cars had style. But, and they weren't more than your house.
Well, you know, I had an interesting, just kind of an aside story, back in 85, my wife and I we had this 16-foot travel trailer and a Chevy Love truck. And we were here passing through the Ozarks. We weren't living here at the time, but we were down Table Rock Lake at a campground. And we couldn't get back up the hill. It was a steep, it was paved, but we couldn't get back up. And so we got, you know, about halfway up the hill, and we're just stuck. The Chevy Love truck would not pull that little 16-foot trailer up that hill. So along comes this guy in, you know, what, a GTO. No problem, you know. He just throws a chain on my front axle and just says, don't forget to change gears, you know. And I'm telling you, man, he got in that thing, and it was, oh, man, it was just unbelievable power. I mean, he's pulling me and that trailer up that hill.
Yeah.
And I was transfixed, and, you know, finally, you know, Joanne says, hey, change gears, you know, and they had somebody driving behind me, and later on he says, yeah, I was wondering when you were going to change gears, and then I saw the puff of smoke. But, man, they had unbelievable power. It was 440 in it, wasn't it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It was a real 440.
Yeah.
Getting back to the tail end of these new children coming in, you know, again, these prophecies were originally talked about in 1982.
Yep.
I published them in 1998. I was only allowed to publish at that point the eight thunders. I was not allowed to talk about the ninth thunder yet. That happened later. But, you know, it says in the prophecies that the intelligence of many of these children will be so advanced to their parents that in essence they will be directing the behavior of the parent, as the will of the parent will be no contest to the powers that these children seem to possess. Now we're seeing that today. We're seeing homes that are totally run by their children. Brilliant children. But it's all a matter of will. It's a matter of will. And so we're seeing the parenthood being tested. How it got here, we can come up with a lot of 3D explanations, but still, they didn't know about this when they were just looking into the future, seeing what would happen. You know. So, you know, it's just amazing as I go through. They talked about political figures. Will be seen, new political figures will come out of this chaos, and they'll be seen as the new founding fathers and mothers. And there'll be a great evening of the genders. In other words, women would come in and take positions that they have not taken in political arenas since centuries ago. I mean, you know, it's been a long time since we had a Cleopatra or we had a Hatshepsut. It's been a long time since we had women rulers. I mean, basically, it's been the boys' game, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing that now. Now we are seeing this. You know, our first empress may be Hillary Clinton, God help us. And then they talked about the warlords, the chaos and the violence in the streets. Well, you know, they played out a lot of fictional movies with the return to New York, the return to L.A.,
mm-hmm.
with Kurt Russell and all these different things. But now, as we're looking at the news every day, and we're looking at the Taliban and all these people, what are we seeing? We're seeing this super advanced army running all over the place chasing these medieval warlords.
Yep.
And they're on camel and horseback and running through the mountains and fighting with swords and machine guns and all that. But it's like, here's your warlords. So, you know, they were clear about what they saw. We couldn't see it 20 years ago because, you know, all we saw was the dream. And the dream told us how effectual everything was and that it was perfect and everything was going to go on, ubladi, ublada. You know, they spoke about the awareness of global political structures and the people to a long-running relationship between the people of the stars and the people here. They spoke in terms of what could very well be deciphered today with the more knowledge that we have of the involvement of governments with off-planet cultures creating ships that would move in between time and space. Well, as we go back now and we discover what's really happened with the German Vril and the things, you realize that the Germans were experimenting with ships, interplanetary ships and time travel ships, way back in the late 1930s, which is part of the whole
game of why after the war, after it was realized that, well, you know, Hitler's now got no longer than 3 weeks to survive, so what do we do? And Patton says, General Patton says, go in and crush him and take him, and all of a sudden he gets these orders, no, wait, let the Russians do that.
Mm.
And the whole game was, while the Russians were preparing to go in and do the tactical war thing, all the German scientists and hierarchy were being smuggled out of the country. They were being placed in different places all over the world as heads of corporations, as heads of NASA.
Werner von Braun.
Yeah. You've got
Operation,
the story.
Operation
Paperclip. Yeah. Event, yeah. And now we're finding out that this stuff actually did occur.
Yeah.
So the elders were pretty right on with all of that stuff. They talked about the changes that would happen in our society with the way the job markets went, so to speak, that many of the jobs that people were once doing that were considered part of everyday life would no longer be in existence. We're seeing that now with the death of farms, ranches, and the whole rural America. You know, it's like they decided they're going to grow all the fruit in China, and they're going to grow all the cattle in Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
They look at the world as a global farm, and people still haven't caught up to how they look at things. You know, we have cut down our rainforests between the middle of the last century and now. In the beginning of the 21st century, or only in the first 5 years, we now have about 2% left of the rainforest.
Hmm.
That's scary.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, people do not realize the consequence of that. The Kogi Indians have come out and tried to tell us. They tried to do a couple of documentaries with that. They told us that the conditions were changing up in the Andes, and that the Andes were the places where the clouds were born, and that the Andes were literally turning into a desert, and that when this happened, there'd be no more clouds born, there'd be no more rain. We'd start to see the disappearance. First, we'd start off by seeing the disappearance of frogs and amphibious animals, which we're now seeing. Frogs are fast disappearing from the world. They talked about all the toxification and how it was, you know, I mean, like maybe the way grandfather talked about it might seem amusing to an educated person from Harvard. But he said, so I was in the sweat lodge, and the fish started to jump out of the stones. And I looked, I said, why are you jumping out of the stones? And the fish said, you're killing us, you're killing us, you have to stop killing us. Well, that's the way grandpa saw it. He was a 70-year-old Lakota at the time. You know, he still was around during the times of the original Black Elk. He remembers those times, or he remembered those times. And so he saw the fish jumping out of the stones, saying, you're killing us.
Was this Peace
Catches? But now we're seeing the fish jumping out of the water.
Yeah, was that Peace Catches, or was this...
No, that was Wallace Black Elk.
Oh, Wallace, yeah.
Which is another story I could get into, but I won't right now. I mean, Wallace did a lot of things in his life. When you look at the movie Lakota Woman, and you see the old medicine man with the black hat, that was Wallace.
Yep.
And Wallace was the one who did the Chinupa walk and brought the Chinupa and the different tribes to the UN.
Mm-hmm.
Brought the Hopi to the UN 3 times.
Wasn't he at Alcatraz?
Pardon me?
Wasn't he at Alcatraz?
No. No. You mean later when they did that thing at Alcatraz?
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe he was. I believe he was. But, you know, he was, you know, he goes all the way back to those times, in times of RT and Mad Bear.
Yeah, in the late 60s. You know, you can go on the National Park Service website, and they've got a historical thing about the Indian takeover of Alcatraz.
Uh-huh.
You know, with pictures. You probably see his picture up there.
So he had quite a history in all that, which was
written
out because he took on the embracing of the non-Indians, the non-enrolled Indians.
But now he's just a big fake.
Because to me, there is no such thing as a pure blood. There hasn't been a pure blood on this continent for 1,000 years.
That's right. But everybody says he's just a big fake now. So.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm sitting there and I'm looking at this movie the other night with this country guy, Richard Wagner or something, who did a concert up in Pine Ridge. And I'm sitting there looking at all the Dakotas with full beards.
Yeah.
And I go, what's going on here? This looks like Alaska, you know. First time I ever went up to Alaska, and I was invited to come out and sit with the chief of the Chickasaw. And we were talking about different things, and I walked in there, into his house, and all these people, the incredible people. But it was like, I thought it was a Grateful Dead concert. I mean, they were bandanas, and they had beards and earrings in their ears, and, you know, and I was like, wow, you know. Are these Jerry's kids, you know? So, you know, I mean, that's, you know, and I'm not going to go into that because that's really got nothing to do with the prophecies. We are such a mixed bowl of vegetable soup.
Oh, yeah.
And have been for centuries. This country has been for centuries. And, you know, the only thing that ever destroyed outside of the War of the Heavens, which happened thousands of years ago, the only thing that ever destroyed the people was their own warring amongst themselves.
Yep.
And so the only one who ever stopped that for about 500 years was the Ganawita with his Kayunirik Kawa, with the Great Peace, and the understandings between the tribes. And he warned them on his departure and his prophecies that you will break this. And for a period of time after you break this, you'll become as dust to the earth. And you'll even forget your own languages and your own ways. And sure as hell, come the Revolutionary War, what do they start doing? This side gets bought off by the French with metal tomahawks and guns and metal knives. That side gets bought off by the English, and they fight against each other.
Yeah.
And the Seneca kills...
Yeah.
The Onanaga and bingo, it's there. Okay? So, prophecies like this are fulfilled. We're living it out now. And we're seeing people coming back to the oneness of who we are as being the children of one mother, father, God. We are seeing that, despite what we're seeing on the media news. And where we see that, life becomes prosperous. Where people put the differences between themselves down and start to work together, life becomes prosperous. Where the Wasichi way is, nobody trusts anybody. They're the only ones that I know who build fences in their own towns to keep themselves apart from each other.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I go back to the ancient ruins, I didn't see that. You know, I go back and look at the Mayan ruins, I didn't see what I see when I walk through a contemporary Mexican town where they have stone walls around every house.
Well, they all place
with broken glass on the top and pit bulls in the yard, you know.
The only place you see fences on the Navajo Rez is they got 12-foot fences around the new car dealers.
Ah.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, well, they've always loved their ponies. You know. And it was customary to take ponies from one tribe from another, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's how Pete Ketchus got his name. Pete Ketchus many horses because he used to steal horses from the Crow.
Yeah.
And we're seeing things now. Okay. Prophecy 41 from the 8th Thunder. Insurance companies will begin to fail due to disastrous weather calamities that will be occurring during the first decade of the new century. The industry implodes due to 1,000% inflation. In some areas of America and our allies, the paper economy will disintegrate as those who oppose us begin to back their currencies with gold. Well, we're now seeing a lot of difficulty on the market because both the Arab nations and China back their currency with gold.
That's right. Weave in a couple other little prophecies here. Swiss Re, now for those folks who don't know what reinsurance or reinsurers are, reinsurers are the huge insurance companies that are behind the big insurance companies.
They're the underwriters.
They're the underwriters, right. And, you know, I was just selling insurance. I know what they are. Anyway, Swiss Re, R-E, is the biggest reinsurance company in the world. And, you know, they realize that there's climate change afoot. And this has been going on for close to a year that they've been talking about this. And then they know that the jig is up. And so there's a fulfillment there because they've talked about it publicly. And there was one other point I was going to make, but I can't remember, so go ahead.
Well, then they talked about things that would happen in America, the signs that we would see that it was beginning to fall apart and that a new America was emerging. And like all things, everything is born out of chaos in this world.
Mm-hmm.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
It is so great to have our friend Marie Osmond back here on GMA, and she has some important information about making sure your family is prepared for natural disaster. She's the new national spokesperson for Wise Company, which makes dehydrated and freeze-dried emergency foods and food storage products. She's here to tell us about that. Marie, you've been given the opportunity to endorse probably 9 billion things over the course of your career.
True.
Why the Wise Company?
The reason I wanted to do it is because it's affordable. You can eat a meal for a dollar. It's less than school lunch. It's affordable, but really, look at what's been going on with Sandy and Katrina. I mean, what was it, $78 billion of damage done just here in New York and
right.
New Jersey.
So what is this?
What it is it's emergency meals. And, you know, it's not your grandmother's kind, not the beans and rice and the gross chicken-tasting
right.
garbage. This is lasagna and really good stuff. And I swear to you, why am I here talking about this? Because I know it's going to save thousands and thousands and thousands of lives. You put it under your bed. It's convenient. Stick it in your closet. If something happens, I have it in my car. All you do is you open it and you add water. You don't even have to add hot water.
Right.
And it's affordable. It's convenient. It tastes really good. Taste the peaches. They're fantastic.
This is a peach?
But they're different than every other company because it's like dehydrated. And freeze-dried, and they combine whatever. I swear it's fantastic. Just try it.
I'm trying it right now, Marie
Osmond. Put it under your bed, put it in your closet, give it for Christmas to people, and save lives.
Thank you very much. Will you tell Donnie that we said we hope his rear feels better?
Well, you know, it's kind of a bummer, but I'll tell him.
No, Marie Osmond, great having you on.
It's
the Wise
so fun
Company.
To be here.
Great to be with you.
It's always fun to be here. This is a great place.
All right.
Friends, this is Will Bluewater. If you'd like to find out more about Wise Foods, visit wisefoods.org.
They talked about how the military was being divided. And that there would be almost a mutiny going on at one point. This is all in the first decade. Only 800 prophecies about what happens in the first decade. So it's the first 10 years of the 21st century, which we're right in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And they talked about that there would be three factions. One upholding the policy, political agendas of the UN, which is all about biodiversity, and reducing the world population to about 50 million people.
Mm-hmm.
Period. They did that in 1993 in Brazil, when they were supposed to be having the Conference of Indigenous Nations.
Mm-hmm.
And only indigenous nations are outside. Inside, the scientists and the military were sitting down talking about what they would do about overpopulation, global warming, all of these different things, running out of fossil fuels, that we wouldn't have enough food based on what was going on with the population. By the time we reached 2010, we would have, you know, not enough people to feed based upon the food that we would have. They calculated the pollution and the rate of destruction it was causing. And so the overwhelming consensus was, well, we simply have to reduce the population. And we're seeing this done every day right in front of our eyes.
Mm-hmm.
It happens in third world countries at pandemic levels. I mean, we're looking at Africa and AIDS and all this. This is all orchestrated. The AIDS didn't come out of the ground. It didn't come out of God's anger toward men. It came out of a scientific lab.
Right.
Okay. They were warned.
I heard Len Horowitz talking about that last night or a few days ago with George Norrie.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, one of the guys you should get, who's the guy who basically wrote the book that Len Horowitz sits there and pontificates on the platform about, is you should get a hold of, I should hook you up with Dr. Paleo up in Clark.
He's
the guy who's, that's his information.
Yeah, he said that, and that's what Len said, was that he got all the information from Dr. Paleo.
Yeah, that's why when it goes up to things and people come in for questioning, he goes, well, I don't know, I'll get a hold of Dr. Paleo.
But he said Dr. Paleo died a couple weeks ago.
What?
I believe that's what he said today. I'm pretty sure.
That he died? I just spoke to him this morning.
Oh, really? Well, there was some other...
He's like one of the closest friends I have.
Okay, there was some other person that he said that was all part of... oh, no, I guess this is a part of the AIDS investigation. I'll have to go back through and listen to it and figure out who it was.
Strickner?
Can't remember. I just can't.
Strickner was the guy who first came in. He was actually on the team that created the whole genetic virus
thing.
Yeah,
maybe it was.
And he created the AIDS thing with them and told them, what are you doing? You're letting a Frankenstein loose. You don't know where this thing was going. And he was very involved with genetic engineering. And the engineering of different viruses for specific groups of people.
Yeah.
And, you know, now all of a sudden, you know, 30 years later, 40 years later, this stuff never happened. Everything was official denial.
Right.
And then how come they invited all the scientists who were working in Russia on the very same stuff to come investigate these sites?
See.
I mean, you know, it's like, you know, we're not stupid. We don't have all the facts, but God gave us a couple of other gifts.
Mm.
Like being able to put two and two together and know it makes five.
Yeah.
And, you know, we see things and we sense things, but, you know, it's hard, it's, everything's, I mean, everything's secret and colored and filtered, and the only things that you see on media news are what they want you to see.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys are told what they can talk about, what they can't talk about. So it's like, you know, you're not really watching news, you're watching propaganda. But, you know, people do it because the news isn't about news reporters anymore. It's all about these super personalities all trying to have talk shows, you know. I mean, it really is. It's all about ego. It's not about journalism.
Oh, I've been found out.
Yeah, so we're going to have to, you know, somebody's coming over to your house. I don't know. I don't remember his first name, but it's Rumsfeld. First name rhymes with Donald Duck. Anyway... I shouldn't be laying out my political viewpoint. This is about prophecy. But, excuse me, Donald, I don't speak Neanderthal, so would you please speak slowly? And then we were taught that they talked about a new coalition coming together of different countries, and that we would see the reformed United States join together with Japan and Mexico. We would see China become the big brother to a lot of the third world countries, and that they would become an opposing force. Now, this all has to do, in one sense, with the Armageddon, doesn't it? Because they talk about when the bear goes down and the dragon and
mm-hmm.
and all of that. Well, the people of the dragon are China.
Mm-hmm.
And the bear, well, that's Russia. And, you know, we're seeing China now coming in and selling, you know, all these things you're talking about in, you know, these various Middle East countries, the technology, well, most of it comes from China.
Oh, yeah, we're in debt big time, too. But
so, you know, they're coming in and saying, well, the hell with it, don't worry, we're going to get everybody armed so that we can fight against these infidels, and we feel the same. So China is becoming the big brother. China is having an economic war with us. Right now they're trying to buy up Unocal, you know, they're gonna, Union 76. They're going to buy up oil companies. It's like they found out that everything in America is for sale at 9%.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they have an endless supply of money, and so they just keep upping the offer.
Oh, we gave them the technology.
Yeah.
During Clinton years,
brought it all over there.
Money.
You know.
Now we're giving them.
But part of that is funny how it started. I remember years ago, I was friends with Dave Packard. Remember Dave Packard?
Hewlett
Packard? I put up a solar system in a spa at his house.
Hewlett Packard?
Yeah, Dave Packard. Mr. Hewlett Packard. But Hewlett was the other guy. Anyway, we're over there in Los Altos, and we're, you know, we put the solar system up, and we hook up his hot tub, and we're sitting around talking, and I started out by saying in the conversation, you know, you're going to be able to get a lot of tax credits for this. Because at that point, they had like, you know, 50% tax credit and added solar. He starts laughing, you know. And I go, did I say something funny? He says, Robert, I don't need tax credits. I don't pay taxes. I said, oh, so I found out about this whole other element of society.
Yeah.
But he was saying, I said, would you answer me a question? How come you're building these factories in Mexico? And he goes, because I'm tired of paying $80,000 to $90,000 a year for a janitor.
Yeah.
Okay, so it was the insane economic game here, where houses, I mean, in the last 20 years, houses went from $25,000 to $750,000. Is that 1,000% inflation?
Yeah.
The house that I lived in California, in Felton, California, which is up in the mountains just east of Santa Cruz, it was a four-bedroom house. It was on 5 acres of land. But it was just a house, okay? And, you know, I think I paid $400 a month rent, okay? I just went back in that neighborhood, and believe it or not, I was going to visit my daughter who's in California and won't leave those mountains. And I just drove by the old house. There was a for sale sign, so I called up the realtor. I said, how much you want for the house? And they said, $750,000. It's a real steal.
what
I was like, hey, man, I lived in that house.
Whereabouts is Felton?
Felton is just up in the mountains, just east of Santa Cruz.
Oh, okay.
Santa Cruz, California.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was the place where all the hippies and the mountain guys ran away to,
yeah.
You know. That's where all the girls with the name of, you know, White Buffalo Flower and all those guys, you know. They were running all over the place. And when you played music, you know, the Doobie Brothers and whatnot, well, you lived up in that area.
Well, my folks bought a house in Newport Beach, you know, in the East Bluff back by the Back Bay in, what, 68, 67 or 8 for like $2,000. I mean, it's at least a million now. And that's on Irvine Ranch. They don't even own the land. It's just the house.
So since I had a house, another house that I had was up in a place called Stinson Beach.
Oh, yeah.
Stinson Beach is up north of San Francisco by the water, going up toward Marshall and Bodega Bay. And it was a fun little beach bungalow community. I had this house. I think I paid $19,800 for it. Okay. The house is now sitting in a neighborhood where there's not one thing under $1 million.
Yeah.
And I'm going, well, maybe I shouldn't have moved. I just had to wait 30 years.
Yeah.
You know, but like this is what's happening. That's why we're seeing this invasion of California to all the bordering states.
Yep.
I mean, it's big problems in New Mexico. It's changing the economy. It's changing everything.
Okay.
These guys go and they sell their house for $750,000. My daughter's house, she lives in Pleasanton, California. She's got a little two-bedroom house, older adobe-style house, on a lot. I mean, it's a lot. I mean, I could spit from one side of the property to the other, okay? And she says, well, we got to stay here, Dad. And I said, well, why? She goes, because the house was appraised at $650,000. And I went, you got to be kidding me. I said, wow, if I can only move my house here. But we're seeing that in New Mexico. We're seeing things go from where you used to buy a house for $50,000, $70,000 3 years ago.
And we got, when I was...
And now that same house is $300,000.
And when a couple of years ago when I was, a year and a half ago, I was trucking out in California. You know, the welfare officials were talking about families of four that had an income of $40,000 and could not afford to make ends meet. Because they had a, you know, $2,000 mortgage a month.
You can't do it unless you're a foreigner.
Oh, yeah.
If you're a foreigner, you come in here, they give you platinum credit cards. They give you 100% financing. And they give you a Lexus. But the rest of us who live here, we're fixing our old, you know, 1990 trucks. I mean, I looked in the newspaper the other day at the foreclosure market because I'm looking to move to a larger piece of property because of the horses. And just within a 25-mile radius, there were 23 foreclosures. And these are all people who came in with this, you know, 100% financing, all this stuff. Refinance your house and get the money. And then all of a sudden they're stuck with these, you know, $3,000 a month payments. So, like, you know, folks, wake up. Something's going on. Something's going on. To try to get home again here.
Oh, by the way,
they talked about Korea.
By the way,
they talked about Korea attempting to create a new third world religion.
Is that right? A new third world what now?
Religion.
Oh. Okay.
And now there's a lot of organizations out here that have these, you know, retreat centers and things, and they're all owned by the Koreans.
Yeah.
They're run by this guy called Reverend Lee.
Well, you know, Reverend Moon is still around, and he's more influential than ever in U.S. government circles of all things.
Uh-huh. And you know, these people go there, and I'm going there, you know, like I needed a place to do something outside of the place that I was doing something with a larger group in Sedona once. And I wound up, somebody said, well, go out to this retreat center. So I go out there, and it's one of these Korean retreat centers. And so I went there, and I did the ceremony, and the Hopi came and everything. And he was in the hills with binoculars watching everything that was going on. The man actually invited me to his house for lunch, which shocked everybody. He wanted me to go to Korea to teach Native American whatever. I said, well, number one, I don't teach that. It's just part of what I do. And I was looking at him with all of his people, and these people are mindless slaves. They're mindless slaves. I was going, you know, wow, this is a really curious situation. And they just bring them over here. They work for next to nothing. They're totally slaves. They're told who to be with. The girls are told who to sleep with, who to indoctrinate into the propaganda and the program. I mean, I'm not telling you a science fiction story. I'm telling you a real...
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sitting there going, wow. I mean, this guy must think like we're all really stupid out here or something.
He just wanted you to be part of the Dog and Pony Show.
Yeah, it was another roadside attraction. But, you know, I knew that guy, so it didn't work. I was on the bus with Ken Key. I know, because it used to break down every 25 miles. Because you can't run the bus on hemp.
Yeah.
Ken, it doesn't work. but they talked about all these things. They talked about the Antichrist movement that would come over the planet, but they didn't talk about it in terms of this dark Messiah.
No.
They talked about it more in terms of a movement. And I think that we're seeing that with bin Laden and the things that are going on in the Middle East right now, where it's just this encroaching rash of irrationality that now is absolutely everywhere. I mean,
well,
yes, you opened up the cauldron, Mr. Bush, but are you prepared to deal with it? And are you prepared to deal with the fact that it is we ourselves who let these people in and protected them?
Yeah.
And the same thing with the illegal aliens coming over the border. You know, I live in the Southwest, and I've lived here for a long time over the years. I mean, there were times when I couldn't take the desert anymore, and I'd go up to Orcas Island and then come back down to the desert. But this has been going on for centuries out here. But what we see now are millions. And they're not just Chicanos, okay? I mean, I was just talking to Emery Holmes, Hopi, who just had a granddaughter. He's now a legitimate grandfather, by the way.
Oh, wow.
And, about 10 days ago. Anyway, he's saying, you know, we're seeing a lot of strange people up here in Hopi Land. I said, well, how are they living up here? He says, well... He says, they live down by First Mesa, you know, because they rent houses out to everybody down there. He says, but there's a lot of those Middle East guys that are renting trailers and living down there. And I said, really? He says, yeah, it's not like it used to be. So, you know, you have all these open, backward areas where people are moving in and everybody's moved out. They aren't in the neighborhoods that they used to be. where everybody knew everybody because everybody lived there for two generations. They moved out because there was no means to make any employment. You couldn't do anything. There was no future. There was no hope. So they moved out, but what's happening in place is these other people are moving in, and you're driving along the middle of nowhere in New Mexico, and all of a sudden you see a house, and sitting in front of the house, you got a Lexus and a Mercedes, brand new.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going, wait a minute. That can't be Paco.
Got a couple of Middle Eastern guys. They're probably working for Swift Transportation out of Phoenix. And didn't live about anywhere, be a truck driver.
Huh?
They're home 2, 3, 4 days a month.
Yeah, you know, you walk into the general store in the middle of Navajo land, and there's all these women with veils over their face.
Yeah,
and I'm going, wow, is Navajo doing something new?
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
It's the little yellow pill that scientists say could eliminate chronic diseases and help you live well into your hundreds.
You might be able to increase the lifespan of a mammal by 50%. And, of course, if that was a human being, then that might be in the order of 130 to 150 years.
That claim might be hard to swallow. But tonight on ABC's Primetime Live, co-anchor John Quinones takes the promising antioxidant therapy called Protandim.
I have become a guinea pig for ABC News and Primetime. It's not a drug. It's a supplement. It's called Protandim, and it's a combination of 5 exotic plants that have been around for centuries.
Have you discovered the fountain of youth?
I wouldn't put it that way, but we may have discovered something that will tell us a lot more about how we age, what happens biochemically, and maybe how we can slow it down.
Quinones has been taking Protandim for 2 weeks now and tells Extra,
I am sleeping better. I feel a lot better and also energized when I do wake up.
Primetime puts Protandim to the test tonight.
It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
I mean, you know, we're laughing about it, but we're seeing this happening. And it's almost like, you know, I have to sit here and go, hello, people.
Well,
are you asleep?
Wouldn't it be a kick if the Blue Star Kachina that danced in the plaza was a Hebrew teacher who put his prayer shawl on that had a Blue Star of David on it? Death of the plant.
Well,
you know.
Yeah, you know, but there's things out here. There's the other side of that. When a couple of years ago, when they were getting ready for the return of the Blue Star Kachina, and they talked about the return of the Kachinas, the Hopis in the Dene, and they talked about, you can see where these Kachinas come back, because you'll see the wild corn growing in the middle of nowhere. Well, lo and behold, 2 weeks ago I walked out, I moved my rose bushes, because the sun is so destructive now that flowers don't bloom. They come up to bud and then they just die on the vine.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden,
radiation.
You get this like blight on the leaves, and you're like, what the hell is going on? You know? So I they're all in pots, mind you.
Too much.
They're all in pots because I know that I'm moving to a larger place. So I put them under the patio. Now they're in pots the way I got them from Walmart. Okay?
Yeah.
Well, I go out to the roses, and they start coming back, and they start getting healthy, because they're not in that direct sunlight, which is devastating. I mean, everybody out here has got skin cancer. Nobody sunbathes anymore. But guess what's growing in one of my rose pots?
Wild corn?
Wild corn.
Here.
And I just said, thank you, Grandfather. Thank you for letting me know that you're still here.
What else?
I got a wild corn plant growing in one of my rose pots. Just a single corn thing.
Incredible.
And they came from Walmart, and I don't think that they planted corn in them. Because the others don't have them.
Huh.
You know, speaking about the sun, you know, the Hopi spoke back in 94 about our son was sick.
Yeah.
And they spoke about, I think that was the same year that we had the 23 comets hit Jupiter.
Yeah.
And they said, this is bad. And
they talked about the son was sick and that the son would become poisonous again. And
well, you know, that Shoemaker Levy thing I just found out here recently, that was a huge sign that the Hebrew prophetic people have been looking for a long time.
The imbalance of the sun?
Yeah.
The sun burning?
Yeah, well, the comet breaking up and hit the backside of Jupiter.
Right, right.
And, yeah, they were looking for that to happen for a long time. That was a big wake-up for them. And interesting, it was named after a couple of Jews, Shoemaker and Levy.
Yeah.
One of them was Levi, yeah.
He made dungarees, didn't he?
There's unbelievable things going on around us right now, and it's just...
But the sun is a killer now.
Oh, yeah.
It's causing skin cancer, it's causing crops to die, it's causing this latest heat wave that we had. 26 people died in Phoenix.
Oh, they got up over 100... Well, the heat index here last week for a couple days in a row was over 110. It was over 100 degrees, but with the humidity, it was 117.
Yeah, well, I live up in the mountains, and my thermometer out in front of the house, in the shade, was 107, 111.
And then today, it didn't even get I don't think it even got above 80. You know, the rains came, and the heat quit.
But we're seeing a lot of it. Just enough to kill the crops.
Yeah, just enough to kill
the
crops.
Just enough to kill the crops, and the farmers have to come in. And they get a small, you know, late summer harvest.
And now they're talking about some kind of, expecting some kind of big solar event here in the next couple of weeks.
Well, and what a lot of people don't know is that those farmers get loans from the farm banks, and the ones who supply the money to the farm banks come from the Mideast.
Yep.
So they're buying the farms. Hello, people, what is that telling you? You know, is it happening right in front of your front porch? You don't even know it because the dog's asleep under the rocking chair. It's going on, and the sun is, we're having all these huge solar flares. It's erratic. The poles are shifting on the sun within minutes. It's quite scary. So
the North Magnetic
that they
pole.
Talked about 20 years ago, they're here.
The North Magnetic Pole has moved from where it has been up in northern Canada, which it was right smack in the middle of northern Canada. It was west of Hudson Bay. But now that magnetic pole has now wandered out into international waters and is moving toward Russia. You know, it's incredible.
Here's a couple of things they talked about.
That's an earth change, folks. That's
yes.
A big one.
Well, speaking of earth changes, these are some things they talked about that we would see in the weather, which 20 years ago was unheard of. Okay, like, what are you talking about? They talked about electrical snowstorms and dry lightning in the dead of winter. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
The first one I experienced was a couple of years ago. I was going down to driving from Santa Fe to Phoenix to do a show, and I drove through Flagstaff, and I'm in the middle of a blizzard. A blizzard. And there's lightning all over the place.
Yep.
And I'm going, wow, I'm losing my
mind. I saw some of that while I was on the road, too.
They talked about unusually long droughts. Side-by-side occurring with flooding.
Yeah.
They spoke about straight-line tornadoes, sometime attaining speeds of over 200 miles an hour, and that the prairies shall become desolate with dust storms, which shall blow across the parched land as many of the farms and ranches lay fallow, because they can't grow any crops. They talked about hurricanes that would come with winds in excess of 200 miles an hour. They talked about rain and snowstorms in full sunlight. That would be perfectly sunny, and you'd be in a snowstorm. I've experienced that out here, and especially in the high country. They talked about snow and hail in the heat of summer. Some of the hail will be as large as grapefruits, and blizzards will not be uncommon in July. Well, you know, I got pictures up there on the site of a hailstone that's the size of a football. Okay.
Well, they had snow in the Horn of Africa and Somalia for the first time ever in late June. And the snows are disappearing off of Kilimanjaro. Ugh.
Yeah, yeah. They talked about firestorms. Some of them will rage for a month. Some of them will rage for months. They won't be able to put them out until the rainy season comes. Sometimes creating huge spouts
of fire tornadoes.
Yep.
Well, we're seeing that. They talked about the many of the forest areas will not be, will smolder for months at a time until the winter snows came. And we're seeing that. They talked about something called thick clouds, that's the way they described it, which become denser than water and will cause many airplane disasters and will be like hitting concrete by birds in flight.
Well, that's incredible.
And, you know, I've got pictures of these clouds. They look like ventricular clouds, but they're not. And they're thick clouds. And they are, they're thick. The planes have had problems and come down. There were some flights by Alaska Airlines with the smaller jets where they ran into these things and the jets came down. They talked about strange, along with the sleet and these thick clouds, they talked about ice sheets, large chunks of ice falling from the sky. I got pictures of them, of these large chunks of ice. I mean, they're the size of 2-foot boulders. It's come falling out of the sky.
Well, they've had some incidents around Salt Lake of blue ice falling out of the sky.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, for airliners.
They talked about blood red rain from the clouds. Clouds as black as night shall fall upon the land, and death will follow quickly as the air burns the lungs and the eyes, and people become blind from the oozing sores they get. Well, there's a lot of people now with these kinds of conditions because of the chemtrails and things that are coming down from the sky. And their eyes are always oozing with pus. They have vision problems, but there's nothing wrong with anything physically. It's that this is the way that their bodies are trying to take care of the toxicity. This stuff is so acidic that it's killing trees, plants, and crops. Well, what do you think it's going to do when it gets into your eyes and your skin and your nose? Then they talked about something called still storms. I said, what are still storms? And there are periods where there's absolutely no movement of air, that the atmospheric pressure is such that it is felt in the ears and is actually painful. So like if you were up in a plane and the cabin wasn't pressurized right, and you get that thing in your ears, I get that a lot of, you know, when I used to fly these cheap flights. And it hurts. It hurts. But they're talking about this happening just in different places. Now, when I travel from, let's say, Las Cruces up to Albuquerque, there are areas where all of a sudden the truck doesn't function right. All of a sudden it starts overheating. And you can't get radio stations.
Mm.
They're just like spots. You know, 3-4 miles, 5 miles. And then you come out of it and you're okay. There's certain places that I go through that I swear to God, I don't take that same route anymore because every time I go down, something would happen with the truck. It'd overheat. I'd have to pull it over. And it didn't matter if I had the truck just worked on or what, and I take care of my vehicles because I use vehicles in my work. And these things would happen, and, you know, so maybe that's what they were talking about. They talked about fireballs, the green fireballs coming down from the sky. They said the green ones are okay, but that the orange ones, the red ones, were malevolent toward us. And that sometimes what would come down with it would be pieces of almost metallic ice, razor sharp, and they'd fall down from the skies, and they would cause huge fires and destructions. Well, we are seeing that now.
This
goes back to really ancient prophecies, doesn't it? Once things came falling from the heavens.
Yeah, there was a lot of that in the southern hemisphere, too, not long ago.
Then they talked about giant waterspouts coming up out of lakes and oceans. We know it as G-force, that these things would begin to appear with more and more frequencies, like huge funnels bringing things up out of the ocean. I've got some pictures up on the site that are U.S. Navy pictures of these waterspouts now that are happening all over the place. Very dangerous to navigation and shipping. You don't know when they're going to occur, how they're going to occur. And they go up for hundreds and hundreds of feet. They talked about the appearance of rainbows at night. First one I ever saw was at the Ghost Dance in Montana in 1998. We saw double rainbows in the middle of the night. Now, we know that was benevolent, but still, you know, strange occurrences. They talked about that they'll have days when there'll be solar burn days, when temperatures will go up to, now, what did we just come through? When the temperatures will go up to 120, 140 degrees, and that people will be warned not to go outside.
Yep.
Because the sun will kill you. And we're now coming out of, what do we have, 20 days straight like that?
Yep.
And it wasn't just in the Southwest in the desert, people. It was all the way into North Carolina.
Yep.
And went right across the whole southern half of the country.
Yeah, we had just about a week of heat advisory here.
Well, you know, when I was in Truth to Consequences, and I was walking across the parking lot, and my sneakers were sinking into the asphalt, I knew I had to get out of there.
Oh, yeah.
I said, this is ridiculous, man. You know, I mean, you can't, you know, adhesive don't work. Paint comes off the truck. All the moldings around your window just turns into this crystallized stuff that you can break off with your finger. This is what happens. I had a tire on the back, and I was only in this place for a month. And you can go there with your finger and pick the rubber off the tire. That's how it dried it out. So, you know, the elders talked about this back in 1982 at this rainbow walk. They talked about spider webs and strange funguses that would fall from the sky, burning the flesh and burning crops. Well, speaking when, you remember him.
Yep.
We talked about the three demons that would come from the sky. Two of them, they would manage. The first one would last for a short period of time. The second one, they would figure out how to control. The third one, they would have no answer for. Well, now we're seeing all sorts of sea life, mammals that live by the riversides and the plants dying, disappearing from these funguses that are growing and causing Ebola in animals. They're just causing all the watercress and all the plant life, all the vegetation that grows along riverbanks and things to just dry up and die. And it's not necessarily because there's no water. We're seeing trees die from what people are still calling acid rain, but it's something else because it's a fungus. You travel up in the Pacific Northwest and the birches are all dying. All the birches are dying. And you go up to the Douglas firs and the pines. Some of these are 200, 300-year-old trees. And they get this fungus. And the fungus is very peculiar. It starts off looking like a lichen, okay? And it's green, and it grows on the trees. But it also grows on the tractor and the rocks. And it grows in the sunlight. Hello? Fungus doesn't grow in sunlight, okay? So there's something strange about this fungus. Anyway, it hits the trees, and then it, all of a sudden, within a month, it's up and down the whole tree. I mean, boom, the whole tree is covered with this thing. The next thing is that the following season, what you see are these huge sores, like the tree had poison oak or something.
Huh.
And this dripping of the sap from the trees, okay? Well, this fungus goes in between the bark and the tree. And that's where the membrane is, you know, and like when we make the smoke for the pipe, we don't smoke the outer bark, we smoke the inner bark. And the inner bark is that green thin layer that's between the bark and the wood, okay? Well, it goes in and it affects that, and that's where the whole life source of the tree moves, from the ground up and from up down. And so it goes in there and kills that. So all of a sudden you have these trees that are 200 years old, 300 years old, they've been perfectly healthy, and you drive through the forest and all of a sudden they're all dying, and they all die within 2 years. And when you go into the wood, it's all pulpy and fibrous, you know what I mean? It's not wood. It's like it's affected the whole DNA structure of the tree. So the wood is useless because all you can do is make sawdust out of it. And so maybe that's why we're finding now all these new houses that cost $900,000 are being built out of this compressed wood stuff.
which is essentially wood pulp cardboard.
Yep.
It ain't real wood. I mean, they don't have oak beams anymore. They don't have big Vegas going across the houses anymore. They don't have any of that. It's all this other stuff. And then they talked about aurora storms. These strange lights in the sky.
There's your sun.
Okay. And we're seeing that all over the place. They were seeing auroras in Texas last year. I mean, someone want to explain that to me?
That's incredible, those latitudes.
You know, they're having them in Colorado and Texas. I don't think as far down as Houston, but at least El Paso.
It used to be unusual if you could see them in Long Island.
Yeah.
Back in the 60s.
Well, I saw them when I was up.
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet, all for $9.99, formerly priced at $29.99. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keeper's Prepper's Self-Reliance files and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of two-thirds of the Prophecy Keepers trilogy and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault.
I'll see you.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
You want to get an edge on turning back the clock with just a few pills? Who doesn't? Well, it's no longer science fiction, but science possibility, a potential breakthrough. As I found out firsthand, there may be a way to erase years, at least inside my body. Granted, it's down the road, but some scientists are wondering if a new pill I took might offer a very long life.
It may not look like the Fountain of Youth, but inside this nondescript building, I'm about to become part of an exciting experiment, a kind of guinea pig.
Dr. McCord, okay.
I'm here at the University of Colorado in Denver to meet Dr. Joe McCord, a world-renowned scientist.
This is pretty exciting stuff you're finding, huh?
It is. We're very excited about it.
His latest research could very well unravel the mystery of aging itself. And his decades of experiments may have the potential of adding years to people's lives and possibly prevent chronic diseases like cancer, diabetes, and heart disease. It all centers around this small yellow pill, and for me, it begins with a blood test.
It wouldn't be the first time I've given blood for this company.
They want to check my levels of something called T-bars, which is a rough indicator of a person's actual age. T-bars can identify a condition known as oxidative stress, a kind of measure of the wear and tear on our bodies. Oxidative stress, like the rusting of an engine, is not a good thing.
Bad for the body.
Leading to disease.
Leading to disease and leading to malfunction and, importantly, leading to what we call aging. It is a slow progression of increasing oxidative stress. That's the main characteristic biochemically of the aging process.
The problem of aging begins with the very food we eat to give us energy. As our cells burn that food, they also release toxic chemicals. Those chemicals, you may know them as free radicals, react with all the components of our cells, literally bombarding them millions of times per second, damaging all our cells. The result? Oxidative stress. And we all have it. The body fights back with a system of defenses. It makes two antioxidant enzymes, catalase and SOD, whose job is to gobble up the free radicals before they can harm our cells.
So, doctor, how often do I take these?
And so, here I go. With that swallow, I've just become part of a potentially landmark scientific experiment.
Doesn't taste bad.
It's called Protandim, and tests on both mice and humans have already shown that it revs up the manufacture of those good enzymes in our bodies. More enzymes, fewer free radicals to harm us. Whether that will lead to longer life is still unknown. Experiments to see if mice live longer are about to get underway, but it's a tantalizing theory.
Right now, all we know is that this preparation decreases oxidative stress. Oxidative stress is not a disease, just like aging is not in itself a disease, but it's something that accompanies and is attached to many disease processes. So you can see the age-related...
Normally, oxidative stress, measured by those T-bars, increases with age. But in Dr. McCord's tests, taking just one pill of Protandim a day reversed that trend for everyone at every age, even for an 80-year-old.
They all are reduced to the level of oxidative stress that one would expect, frankly, in a newborn or a very young child.
Back to the oxidative stress levels of a child? It sounds too good to be true. Will Protandim work on me?
The scientific evidence is there. The pieces seem to make sense. The question is, does this translate into something that humans can take advantage of?
And so, ancient Eastern healing and modern Western medicine may soon be working together. High oxidative stress is associated with more than aging. It's been linked to hundreds of illnesses.
It's at the very center of many diseases. Liver disease, diabetes, emphysema, asthma. I've studied all of these. Strokes, heart attacks.
Even mental disease.
Yes.
Depression?
Alzheimer's disease, depression.
Dr. James Crapo with the National Jewish Medical Center in Denver is also researching Protandim for the company.
Are you saying that this could be a cure-all?
You're looking at something that will have a small impact, but an important impact.
We make no claims about curing any disease or preventing any disease. We hope that when enough studies are done, perhaps such claims might be able to be made in the future.
Clinical studies to assess Protandim in both diabetes and heart disease should start in 3 to 4 months. But what about my progress? After nearly 2 weeks now, it's time to get my results. Dr. McCord calculates the numbers. The result? My level of oxidative stress has declined dramatically.
45%. That's excellent.
Just look at where I fall on the graph, before and after.
Which, if extrapolated back, is the level you would see in a newborn baby.
Have we turned back the clock? Well, maybe not on the outside, but deep inside, within my cells. Yes, indeed.
Would you suggest I keep taking this supplement?
I would. I can't guarantee it's going to extend your life. I can't guarantee it's going to eliminate any diseases or cure any diseases.
But we do know that oxidative stress is part of those disease processes. I don't want to wait until I'm 80 years old and find out that I should have taken it.
For more, go to our website at abcnews.com.
It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
Major universities and government agencies initiated and continue self-funded studies following the ABC Primetime Investigative Report you just viewed that originally aired in 2005. These studies continue to reveal more scientific evidence about Protandim's unique benefits. They are published in major scientific and medical journals. The next video will bring you up to date.
Developed after 40 years of research and exclusively for LifeVantage, Protandim is a true scientific breakthrough in anti-aging. Protandim has been reported on ABC, NBC, and PBS, featured in the Wall Street Journal, and described in CNN Chief Medical Correspondent Dr. Sanjay Gupta's book, Chasing Life, The Quest for Immortality. Protandim's creator, Dr. Joe McCord, is a world-renowned scientist and a pioneer in free radical biology. Dr. McCord is the discoverer of the key anti-aging enzyme, superoxide dismutase. His role in the discovery is so significant, the enzyme is measured in McCord units. For Dr. McCord's discovery of superoxide dismutase and his contributions in free radical biology, he was awarded the Elliott Cresson Medal. This medal is awarded to distinguished inventors and scientists. putting Dr. McCord in the same company as Pierre and Marie Curie, Alexander Graham Bell, Orville Wright, and Henry Ford. Dr. Joe McCord has devoted his life's work to the study of free radicals, their role in aging, and the many problems associated with aging. Consumers spend billions every year on antioxidants in the form of food and supplements, hoping to reduce these free radicals. But antioxidants from these sources can only eliminate one free radical for every one antioxidant molecule you consume. Protandim is scientifically proven to slow cellular damage caused by free radicals. Taking one Protandim one time per day for 30 days turns on these anti-aging enzymes in your body. Your own enzymes eliminate free radicals at a rate of 1 million to 1.
I think any other supplements that are designed to be antioxidant supplements probably are no longer needed, because Protandim solves that problem in a much more effective way.
Protandim is a breakthrough poised to revolutionize the anti-aging industry. It is an entirely new and scientifically validated way to fight aging, reducing your oxidative stress levels to that of a 20-year-old after just 30 days.
We found, as many other scientists had documented, that there is a progressive increase in T-bars in your blood the older you get. When these same people took Protandim for 30 days, the age-dependent increase in lipid peroxidation was completely eliminated. After Protandim, we could no longer distinguish the 80-year-old from the 20-year-old.
Protandim is protected by 3 U.S. patents. Universities around the world continue to initiate and fund their own studies of Protandim and to evaluate how this anti-aging breakthrough can prevent and improve many of the hundreds of problems associated with aging.
Many academic scientists at a number of universities have begun studying Protandim because it represents a new tool. It represents a way of reducing oxidative stress that wasn't available before. There simply was not a good way of doing what Protandim does. Protandim interacts with the DNA in your cells and causes the cells to make more of a set of genes called survival genes. The ingredients in Protandim were actually selected because they are largely metabolized by the liver, which does not interfere with most prescription drugs, which are generally metabolized by the kidneys. So the general answer to that is yes, it is safe. The immediate benefits of Protandim are, within several days, the biochemical markers of oxidative stress begin to decrease. And while these are immediate improvements, you may not sense that these things are happening, just as you can't sense what your cholesterol level is, if it's high or low. But nonetheless, these benefits start happening within days of taking Protandim. The advantages to taking Protandim in the long term are that it protects your body from the relentless progression of free radical damage as we age. The anti-aging aspect of Protandim is one that accumulates over time. So the longer you take it, the more protection you will sustain. Missing a dose of Protandim is not a big problem. It takes about 2 weeks for the effects to go away. So if you miss it for 2 weeks, you're pretty much back to where you started from.
It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
Good afternoon. These are on, I presume. I'd like to talk to you today, and do I have control of these slides, or is I do? Okay. Let's get through these really quick, because this is just because you have to get CMEs, and I have to tell you that I am on the Speakers Bureau for GSK, GlaxoSmithKline, and also a nutritional consultant for an HIV nutritional company named Biosource Therapeutics, which has nothing to do with what I'm talking about today. What I'd like to talk to you about is something that I find thoroughly fascinating. It is glutathione. It is one of the four endogenous antioxidants, and it is one that I must admit, despite 80,000 published articles in the English literature, through medical school internship, residency, fellowship, and a fairly long time in academic medicine, I knew nothing about. It is a very interesting molecule because it exists in an accelerated or increased energy state. The energy state is, or increased energy state, is caused by the fact that it's got a free sulfhydryl group and therefore can easily donate the hydrogen to a electron and therefore quench a free radical. Now, let me tell you, because I think it's important, and it is a little bit of a divergence, but I learned about glutathione because of something that you probably all have seen in your practice, and that is a low uric acid. Now, when I was in medical school and when I was a professor of oncology, the only thing I knew about uric acid is when you had a kid that you were going to treat for leukemia, you put them on allopurinol to keep the uric acid down. I knew nothing about uric acid being low, except it kept appearing, and it appeared in about 20% of my patients, and that just didn't make sense. So I finally went into PubMed, and after stumbling around for a long time, I found out that uric acid is the last antioxidant your body uses when it's run out of everything else. When it's run out of gas, okay, it uses uric acid. Interesting. So if that's the last, the question then, what was the first? And that is where I got into glutathione. I've been coming to some of these meetings for a while, and glutathione is very important for a number of things, not all of which I'm going to go into today. But in point of fact, it has a great deal to do with not only well-being, okay, but aging well, or if you will, retarding the aging process. So I think it's very applicable. I'd like to, at the risk of repeating things that you already know, go over some of the things that glutathione is important about. Alone in the antioxidant world, okay, every other antioxidant, when it becomes oxidized, becomes itself a free radical. Glutathione doesn't. It actually recycles other antioxidants. In fact, the body considers it so important that up to 6% of the entire ATP expenditure or energy expenditure of the body may be used to synthesize and optimize glutathione levels. That's pretty impressive, 6% of the entire energy output of the body. It is also the only non-enzyme antioxidant that doesn't become a free radical and in fact has a very interesting corollary when it becomes oxidized, because what happens is it complexes to another spent glutathione molecule, and the compound then becomes GSSG, and GSSG has been shown in animal studies at least to promote and induce delta wave sleep. We all know the importance of that in terms of the aging process, so this, even in its used up form, functions as a very useful product. It not only functions as an antioxidant itself, but alone again in the world of antioxidants, it is an absolutely essential component of antioxidant enzymes, namely glutathione peroxidase, and most importantly, the glutathione transferases. And I bring that up because glutathione transferase abnormalities have now been associated with virtually every cancer known to man, and probably with a lot more than that. And therefore, by promoting the production of glutathione transferases through improving glutathione, we may be doing even more than I'm able to talk about right now. In addition, if that were not enough, let's keep going. It's a chelator. In fact, it's 50% as effective as oral chelation in getting rid of mercury. It has an effect on other heavy metals, but they're not as pronounced as mercury, and mercury is pretty ubiquitous in an environment, so it kind of comes as a freebie. And it detoxifies organic pollutants, perhaps the best known one of which is the 2-carbon fragment that we know as alcohol. And in fact, without glutathione, you ultimately get a hangover because you stop the process at acetaldehyde, which is phase 1 detox, and that in itself is a free radical, and obviously many of us may have felt the effects of that if we didn't have enough glutathione. Now, why is it important in aging? Well, these are old data, and I think they're probably not as robust as they should be, but I'll give you what is available now. Glutathione levels decrease with age. The data would suggest it's 1% a year beginning in the 20s. I think that's too little, too late, but that's only my opinion right now. I haven't proved it. There are some very interesting things, though. Age-matched normals, okay, reveal that anybody at, say, 45 who's had his first heart attack or has asthma or whatever other disease you want to use has a lower glutathione level than somebody of that age who's well. So disease causes decrease in glutathione and an accelerated decrease compared to normals. Glutathione happens to be, and this is perhaps the take-home message, it's the major protector of mitochondrial DNA. Mitochondrial DNA is that DNA within the cells that's responsible, if you will, for the electron transport chain that produces every bit of energy in your body. And we know from pathologic data that if you take a biopsy from a 90-year-old and compare it to a biopsy in a 5-year-old, the mitochondrial DNA in the 90-year-old is only 5% normal compared to the 5-year-old. So obviously we destroy our mitochondrial DNA, we destroy our energy, and we age. Maintenance of normal mitochondrial DNA is directly correlated, and it's got an R value above 9.9, with aging. So the higher your glutathione, the less you age. And I think
it's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
Heart deep in the mountain stillness, echoes of another time. Let the wind blow, let the truth be known to all mankind again. Prophecy keeper, prophecy keeper,
prophecy keeper.
Oh, like a lover's hand upon the heart, the very breath you gave me grows intently through the years
and becomes dreams.
So let the wind blow. Let the truth